Okay, welcome to another episode of D&K in the Lab. I got a special guest with me, Kimbe Dixon out of the University of Illinois, Chicago. Kimbe.
What's up?
What's the word, dog? How you been, man?
Been good. How you doing?
I've been waiting for you to get home, man.
Yeah.
Gee, I texted Kimbe. He over there. And then it's like, oh. Yo, I'm like, yo, you coming home? Like, nah, we got playoffs. And I checked him again. Yeah, like, I'm still over there. Jeez.
We weren't even supposed to make playoffs, and we ended up making it.
Word. We're going to talk about how that season went. But everything's good with the fam, bro?
Yes, sir. They good. Healthy.
Bruh. I'm not going to lie, bro. Ever since, obviously, you know, we're going to talk about the combine, but ever since then, I'm like, bro, I got to. I mean, but once I saw that combine, that's when I went to Instagram, and that's when, like, we started talking and stuff. And I was like, bro, I'm a huge fan, bro. Like, you feel me? It's different now because that video, I seen it so long ago, but the first time I saw that video, I was like, yo, who is this, bro? Who is this, bro? Like, you, oh, my God. We gonna talk about the combine, bro, but we gonna start from, like, the very beginning. Of the Kimbe,
okay.
Bro. Are you from Kentucky? Or you're from Illinois.
I'm from Freeport, Illinois. I moved to West Virginia right after like eighth grade, kind of like in the middle of middle school, because my sister ended up playing ball at Marshall, so we moved out there.
Okay, so you moved to Kentucky around the eighth grade.
I moved to West Virginia, then I moved to Kentucky.
What moved to West Virginia, and then you moved? When did you move to Kentucky?
My sophomore year.
Sophomore year of high school. Okay.
Yep.
All right. So while you were at Illinois coming up, when did you, like, first realize that, like, you liked basketball? Like, when was the first time you picked up a basketball?
Like, organized or just, like, on some, like, hooping outside with my friends type stuff?
Yeah, just, like, hooping outside stuff. Like, when was the first time?
I picked up ball when I was probably, like, six. Because my older siblings played.
Okay. Okay. Your older siblings played. Did they play in high school or college?
Yeah. My brothers played in high school, and then my sister went off and played D1.
Where'd your sister play at?
Marshall University in Huntington, West Virginia.
Oh, that's solid. That's dope.
Yeah.
So basically, when you picked up a ball at six, they basically just showed you the ropes.
Not really, because I wasn't even into basketball. I was just doing it because, like, my dad was hard on us. So, like, he used to take us all to the gym while he was, like, training my siblings. And he just, like, let me do whatever, you know. I was just in the way. But
yeah.
I didn't really start playing basketball until I was, like, 12 because I was pretty tall at my age. And the basketball coach used to see me walking through the school, and he was like, come play basketball. And I was like, man, I don't play basketball.
How tall were you when you were 12?
When I was 12, I was, like, 6 foot.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. My dad one day, because, you know, I'm from a small town, so you call my dad. Everybody know my dad and mom.
Yeah.
It was like, let him play. And my dad was like, I never worked with him. He not good. So he told me to go play. I played, and I was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So then, like, my seventh grade year, that summer going into my seventh grade year, my dad worked with me the whole summer at the park and stuff like that. And then that's when I fell in love with basketball.
Word.
I was about 13 when I actually fell in love with it.
Okay, so like the first organized team you were on, was it just like a rec league team or was it AAU?
No, it was my school.
Oh, okay. Okay, so the first year you played was your school. So you played on the seventh grade team?
Sixth grade is when I first started.
Sixth grade, okay. And
yeah.
You said that didn't go too well.
No, I didn't go too well. But I averaged like a double-double because, you know, I was taller than everybody. And I missed layups, get my own rebound,
yeah.
Missed the layups.
Get your own rebounds.
Yeah, I was doing it.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, okay, so sixth grade you did that. So you played for the school seventh grade and eighth grade?
Yeah, yep.
Okay. So you just kept on basically. So sixth grade, you were averaging a double double just based off like your height and stuff.
Yeah.
So seventh grade, eighth grade, That's right. So 7th grade, 8th grade, you just started getting like better little by little. Stats started going up a little bit.
Like the jump from 6th grade to 7th grade, like, was crazy. Like, everybody was like, I want to work out with your dad. I want to work out with your dad. Because, like, I got, like, a lot better.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I had to sacrifice my summer, though. You know, my dad was, we was outside at the parks and stuff like that every single day.
Every single day. Yep.
Every single
day. Sacrifice. Had to sacrifice your childhood, but, hey, it was worth it at the end of the day. Right? What middle school did you go to?
I went to Carl Sandburg, and then I went to junior high, but they changed it to, like, a middle school now. And then we moved to West Virginia, and then I went to Huntington Middle School.
Okay, Huntington Middle School. Awesome. Yep. Awesome. Did you play AAU in middle school or not?
Yes, I started to play AAU. I played with Prime Time. It's a little place. If you know Fred Van Fleet, he played on that team. It was out of roster.
I was just about to ask you if you played against any NBA players when you played AAU in middle school. I was just about to ask you.
Okay. No, I didn't play against Fred. Fred was on the older team. I was on the younger team, Prime Time.
Okay.
Yeah, he was older.
Okay.
I played against NBA guys as when I got to high school and I started traveling and stuff with, like, the big AAU programs and stuff like that.
Right. But middle school, no. Middle school, no.
I ain't go against no NBA players.
Okay.
Future NBA players, I'd say.
All right. So now we're going to get to real basketball. Now we're going to start talking about high school.
Okay.
So which high school did you go to first?
My first high school was Huntington Middle. I mean, Huntington High School, my bad.
Were you on JV as a freshman, or you're automatically on varsity?
I played freshman, JV, and then when JV ended, I played the last two games of varsity my freshman year.
Okay. Okay, so that freshman year, was it a difficult transition, or it was like?
I was killing. I was putting up like 30 balls, 20 ball. Like it was like too easy.
Too easy, right?
To be honest, like, it was easy, for real. Like, I was going crazy.
Okay, so we're not even going to waste time talking about freshman year. So sophomore year for JV, and then you were on varsity at the end of the year. How did sophomore year go? It was the same thing as freshman year.
Sophomore year,
right?
That's when I ended up moving to Kentucky because, like, my dad, my dad different. Like, he crazy when it comes to, like, sports and his kids. So, like, he was mad that I was playing, like, freshman and JV that long because, like, he obviously, like, I was way advanced. So he was like, you need to be playing varsity. You know how parents mm-hmm. are. So he was upset at that school. So we ended up leaving and going to Kentucky, which was, like, on the tri-state, which was on the border of West Virginia, Ohio, and Kentucky, which was, like, 20 to 30 minutes from Huntington. And that's when I went to Aspen Paul Blazer my sophomore year, and then I've been playing varsity since then. So my sophomore year is when I started varsity.
So freshman year, you're on the freshman team, JV, and then varsity at the end of the year?
Yep.
You did all of that. I gotta understand this. This is the first time I'm hearing this. Freshman year, you were on. How long were you on the freshman team for?
Like where I was at, like the freshman team season finished. Then JV still had like 5 or 6 games, and then varsity had like maybe 10 games left. It was like that. So,
okay.
So when I finished freshman, I got bumped up to JV. So when I finished JV, I got bumped up to varsity.
Okay. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
So now let's get to sophomore year. Let's get to varsity. Tell us about that sophomore year transition to varsity. Go ahead.
Oh my goodness, that sophomore year, like, I was going crazy. Like, man, it was crazy because, like, I was a scrawny little kid, about 6'5", 6'4" at the time, and I'm seeing these seniors. I'm like, these boys look like grown men. And my dad was like, boy, ain't nobody trying to hear that. You can play basketball. That's all that matters, you know. So, like,
yeah.
The season start, first game was a little rocky. I think I had 14 points.
That's a good game, man. Yo, y'all got to understand, man.
You got to understand, like, for me, like, that wasn't a good game. Like, for, like, an average player, maybe they'd be like, oh, yeah, I played well. But, like, my dad was like, that ain't your type of game, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I have 14 and 11.
Okay.
At 14 and 11.
Double
and
double.
I was like, yeah, and I was like, and I don't know. Everybody was like, you played well, and I'm looking at them like, no, I didn't. Me playing well is like 25 plus.
Y'all win that game?
Yeah, we won. No, I think we lost by two. My first game, we lost by two. Yeah, I think we lost by two.
Damn.
I think we lost by two.
Okay.
Yeah. But I remember right after the game, I had to get on, like, the news and stuff like that because I was new to the city and everybody wanted to talk to me.
Okay.
So then after that, my bad, go ahead.
Go ahead.
you know, I talked to my dad because he couldn't make that game. Usually my dad go to all my games. He couldn't make it,
right.
But he watched it on TV.
On TV.
Yeah, like the little local channel in our town.
Mm-hmm.
So
what did your dad tell you?
He was just like, you know, it's your first game playing like full varsity. Like, I didn't expect you to go like crazy or nothing like that, but you had a double-double. You played well, you know. So he's like, but next game, you know, you gotta always improve each game. That's how my dad was. Like, as long as you get better each game, like, we cool. So after that, I think I ended up having like 22 and 12, and it was just history after that. Like, the end of my sophomore year, I broke like 12 records. I had so many trophies walking out of the banquet.
Right.
Yeah. To this day, I don't think nobody broke those records.
So there was no – so basically, like, with all those transitions from freshman to, like, varsity sophomore year, there were, like – you didn't really face too much adversity, I'm guessing.
No, I really didn't. Like, my dad, like, he – I don't know. He made me, like – he changed the way I thought, like, when it came to basketball. Like,
mm-hmm.
Like he made me have no fear, like, when I came against – when we went against ranked players or like good teams, like I had no fear against nobody. Anybody I was ready to go at. I ain't have nothing to lose.
I hear you, bro. And I'm happy you had a dad that pushed you to hoop. I'm happy.
Yeah, my dad was on the people. Trust me, it wasn't always roses. My dad was crazy.
He's crazy.
Still
right?
is
He's
to this day. 25 years old, I get phone calls after my games overseas and he'd be like, I had 25 points. He like, that ain't good. You should have 40 that game or something. Like, he'll be like talking like that.
Awesome. Let's talk about junior year and senior year. So we're moving up from sophomore year to junior year. What are your expectations?
Okay.
Before we get, how did the team do overall sophomore year real quick? What was the record?
Sophomore year, we made it to conference finals or something like that. Like, we played against I forgot the name of the team, but they had two dudes on their team that was actually pretty good. And we made it to the game right before. If we would have won that game, we'd have went downstate.
Did you play against any NBA guys sophomore year or not yet?
No, not yet.
Not yet?
What is it called? Like high school season. But AAU, I think I went against. That was later, though, like my junior and senior year. I mean, my junior year is when I went to like Jaylen Brown.
Okay, so we'll get right into that. So going into junior year, what are your expectations going into junior year of high school?
Trying to get a scholarship.
Right.
Trying to get a scholarship. But that didn't go as planned. My junior year, I stayed at the Kentucky school to like, I want to say like a little bit before September.
Mm-hmm.
And then I end up going to another place in Kentucky, like 5-6 hours away. It's called Thomas Nelson. I went to that school my junior year. Played a couple games there. The coach was tripping and, you know, he had a son on the team and a lot of stuff was going on. But I had a lot of college coaches coming in. I had UConn, Texas, LSU, like a bunch of schools was coming to watch me when I was in my junior year, like watch his practice and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think like the coach kind of got jealous because they was there for me and not his son. So he started saying like, you know, some hate and stuff like, oh, he's not coachable. He don't, you know what I'm saying? He don't work hard.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So like it ended up getting back to us because we was like, dang, why the college coaches stop calling? You know, they was calling all the time. Like, I went on an unofficial visit to Kentucky. Like, it was a good year so far. So then I ended up they end up getting back to me telling me like, oh, he did this, he told us you not this, you know. So then I had to start all the way over type stuff. But, you know, once you tell college coaches that, they kind of like fall back. So I had to start all the way over. And then we ended up moving schools mid-year, my junior year, and went to my final high school, which was Mingo Central, back in West Virginia.
I'm mad that coach did, bro. And I've been trying to tell people, like, people that, like really haven't been there, like, they don't understand, like, what these coaches do to people. Like, people just don't get it, bro.
How much power these coaches got.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and people see people on the bench and also, and they automatically think like, yo, he's ass, he's not this.
Yeah,
like,
they don't know that. People that think like that don't know the like basketball side of things. Like, they don't think like, oh, if you're not playing, you're not good. But it ain't always the case.
Yeah, it's not always the case, bro. It's crazy that like people think that way. But like, and I'm pissed that coach did it to you. But I'm also happy that you brought it up. So that people know, like, you see what I'm saying? Like, jealousy, like, these coaches. And you were probably killing, that nigga at practice every time. You probably killed
him
every day, bro.
I killed him so bad, he started crying after one of the times. His dad got mad at me. I'm like, bro, I'm playing ball. Like, what you want me to let him win so he can go back and tell people he beat me? No, boy.
That's what I'm saying. Your situation is different because regardless, you're getting minutes. But there are people that kill the practice that be on the bench, bro. Because
trust me, I've seen it. Throughout my years of high school, I seen some killers that didn't play. It sucked. I seen it. I witnessed it firsthand where people didn't play, and I know they should have played.
That's what I'm saying, bro. That's what I'm saying.
You definitely see the facts.
Let's hop into the second half of junior year, you transferred to that last school?
I transferred to school. It's still basketball season, too. Still basketball season.
Okay. Okay.
So we transferred.
You played for a different school the second half?
Yes.
You're allowed to do that?
You know, we made it happen. Sometimes you get lucky, sometimes you don't.
Okay. So how did that second half?
Fortunately, I was lucky enough to be able to play. So we transferred. I had to wait till my transcripts come over, and I had to wait till like the head of the high school basketball, you know, they talk and chat and see if like, okay, should we let them play or should we not? So like, I ended up being able to play, but I got a younger bro that's 1 year younger than me, so he couldn't play that year, but I was able to play.
Okay.
So I played that year. We was killing.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing, you know, what I do. Came short, didn't make the playoffs. I mean, not the playoffs. Didn't make a state that year.
Didn't make state.
But I was killing that. I think I probably averaged like 19 when I got there. And I was coming off the bench because, you know, they was like, oh, you just got here. So, like, maybe like the last two. Just got here. Like, they knew I should have been starting, but the coach was like, I don't want to cause problems. So I was like, man, I don't care about coming off the bench. I'm still going to do my thing. But I was playing so well, he was like, yeah, we got to start you.
Right.
Yeah.
So after that second half ended, did you have any did you have any scholarships at that point?
I think I had an offer from, like, JUCO schools and stuff like that. Like, not knocking JUCOs and nothing like that, but I think those are the only schools that offered me. I think they offered me the beginning of my junior year, I think I had some offers from JUCOs and stuff like that. Just, like, sophomore year, I think. But I wasn't, you know, I wasn't really focused on JUCO. That was like the last resort.
Mm-hmm. Of course. So, so after junior year, you still didn't have any D1 offers yet.
Still had no D1 offers.
Okay. So now we're gonna hop into the most important year of your high school career, the senior year. Tell me your what's your mindset for, like, the summer before that year and then going into that year? What's your mindset like?
I always had the same mindset because he was never satisfied. So, like, all summer, from 12 years old to 18 years old, my dad was – we was in the gym all the time. Like, I wasn't partying. I wasn't doing nothing. I didn't go to no parties in high school. I didn't go to prom. I didn't go to no dances, none of that because – like, my dad was like, you got to lock in. You know what I'm saying? My dad was like that. He's like, don't be worried about no girls. You can worry about girls when you make it. Like, he was hardcore. So, like, I was locked into a core, like, for real. So my mindset was always the same. Like, the goal is get to college. You know, we grew up in poverty, so I know if I ain't get no scholarship, my mom and dad weren't taking out no loan for me to go to school.
Right. I like that, man. Before we get into senior year, did you for AAU? Did you do AAU during the summer?
Yes, I did. I did AAU. Okay. I started AAU when I was in eighth grade, and I always did it to my junior year, end of my junior year.
Let's talk about junior year AAU, because junior year AAU is always like a fun time for players.
It was really fun for that summer.
What did you play against any NBA players that summer for AAU?
I played against a couple, but it was so long ago, I don't even remember. I know Jaylen Brown. I played against him for sure. That boy was a dog. That boy was so, man, he was a dog. But I played against Thonmaker.
Thon, okay. Okay.
I played against Antonio Blakeney.
Antonio, oh my.
Yeah, AB.
Tone is tough, bro.
Yeah, I played against him. But I played against AB when I was in, like, eighth grade. I didn't even know that was him, though, until I got older.
Okay.
Yeah, we played against his AAU team. They were stacked. They blew us out.
Wow.
When I was younger. Who else I played against? I think that's it that I can remember right now. But on my team, I don't know if you know who, like, Craig Randall is. I played – me and him was on the same team.
Okay.
He played in the G League now. I was on a team with Carlton Braggs. He played overseas. He went to Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that's all I can remember so far. I didn't really start playing against NBA talent for real until, like, after I left. I mean, during college, that's when we, like – but I'm pretty sure we'll get to that.
Yes, we will get to that, definitely.
Yeah.
Let's touch on the Jaylen Brown matchup. How did that go before we get into senior year?
It's crazy because I played on OBC, Ohio Basketball Club. It's out of Ohio. Adidas Circuit. So, and Jaylen Brown was in Adidas Circuit. So, I'm in West Virginia. They already in Ohio, so they used to travel together. I always had to travel by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my mom and dad, we didn't have no money growing up, so I couldn't keep making it always. Like, my dad couldn't keep driving all the way to Ohio and stuff like that. So, it was one weekend where I think it was Adidas Showcase in Texas, Dallas, Texas. And I had to fly there, but it was, like, raining and stuff in West Virginia. So, they had to get me to the airport. My flight was delayed. So, when I get to the gym, a couple hours go by, I get to the gym in Texas, like, the game already started, and I think my coach was mad that I was kind of late because he knew I was going to do well against Jaylen Brown, so I couldn't even play that game, so I had to watch. And that man was killing our team. And I think my AAU coach was upset with me because I couldn't make it. But it wasn't my fault, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm 17 years old, traveling. That was my first time flying. I'm traveling by myself. Like, you know, it was bad. That whole weekend was kind of bad, but, you know, I made the best out of it.
Nah, that's crazy, bro, because Jaylen Brown doesn't get enough credit for what he's doing in the league right now. He doesn't get enough credit. We don't talk about him enough, but he's tough, bro. He's very, very, very tough.
Yeah, but, I ran into him. He's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and he seems like a humble guy, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
He is. When I seen him, you know, he remembered who I was, stuff like that. We chopped it up for a little bit.
That's awesome, bro.
Yeah, he's a good
guy. Let's get into that senior year now. Now we're hopping into
senior year. Okay.
How'd the senior year season go? Let me know how that went.
All right, well, before that, I tweeted something on Twitter. This was my first Twitter. I ended up deactivating that alone. But anyway, I tweeted, this year I will make state, you know. And I had a lot of backlash. People at my school, and you know, oh, you jinxing us, like you talking like this, and you know, so I'm like, man, I guarantee you I make state this year. I ain't going out like that. So like I had this cool teacher. Her name was Miss Westlake. I forgot what it was before that, but she ended up getting married. Her name was Miss Westlake. She was my English teacher. And she had a Twitter too, and she commented on there. She's like, I'm gonna hold you to this.
Mm-hmm.
So like So I had a big chip on my shoulder. I was like, we gotta make it. I gotta make it. You know what I'm saying? So like senior year come out, we going crazy. Me and my little bro, we going crazy. My senior year, we killing. We killing, we killing. I think I probably averaged like 20. Had a couple 30-point games. I think I had 40 a couple times. But this way before, like, the social media was busting. Like, if I was in today's age, I think I would have been on, like, Ball's Life or something. The way I was playing, I was dunking on folks.
Right, right.
But, yeah, we was down, like, 15. In the game right before state. And second half come out. My coach pulled me to the side. He's like, Kimbe, you got to do your thing. Like, we need you. Right. I'm like, bet. They left. So, like, you know, in high school, you got to deal with kids that think they better than what they is and they want the ball. You know what I'm saying? So I was going through that a little bit that first half. Like, people complained about the ball. So, you know, I'm like, all right, bet. So, I'm throwing y'all the ball. So, halftime come, I'm in the locker room. Like, I did it y'all way. We down 15. Y'all wanted the ball. Y'all not doing nothing with it. This half, it's over with. So that's why my coach put me to the side. He's like, Dikembe, today is not the time to make a point. Like, we need to win this game.
Right.
So I'm like, I bet. So I went out the second half. And my dad was always, like, by the bench when I came out. Like, we used to walk by the bench, and my dad used to be right there. He talked to me. He'd be like, all right, it's time to turn it on. Now you made your point. And I'm like, all right. So second half come out. I'm getting the ball. I think I scored, like, 20 points straight. Without missing, like, I'm going crazy, and, like, we end up winning that game by, like, 15 to 20 points, and we end up making downstate my first time. Man, I was so geeked. My dad, that's the first time my dad probably told me he was proud of me, for real.
That's crazy.
Like,
that's
it's awesome. Tough for my dad to say it. You know, my mom, she always tells me that. You know how moms are, but my dad, I think that was the first time he was like, I'm proud of you, son, you know what I'm saying, like that. And, yeah, we made it down state. Didn't go well. We got beat the first round. But, you know, I was just happy that I made it. I can say I went down state at least. A lot of people can't say that.
No, that's tough, bro. That's tough. Yeah. That's tough that, like, he pulled you to the side in the second half and told you, like, yo, you need to wake up. I mean, you just got to be on go. This is your team.
Yeah.
Gave you the keys. And then you just came out the second half. That's tough. Because there's people, bro, that when it comes to those games, they'd be up the whole game. Like, it would be late. But being down and then halftime, like
15.
Yeah. Nah, people, it's just like Lucas said, everybody wants to talk when they up, but when you're down, bro, and then you come back, that's always the best story, bro. That's always the best story. So basically you had a successful senior year.
Yep. Successful, yep. Cut down them nets.
So yes, tell me the story with the McDonald's. All of, I read something about you and McDonald's. What's the situation with that?
So I got nominated. They sent me like a McDonald's basketball and a certificate, like, for being nominated. Like, I just didn't make like the final, you know what I'm saying, the final roster, I would say.
Yeah.
But everybody where I was from was like, man, that's a blessing to be acknowledged for that. You know, I was upset. You know, man, I'm a competitor. I was kind of upset. But, like, everybody, like, was like, that's a blessing to be nominated for that. And so I looked at it like that. Yeah, you right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I got nominated. I still got that basketball. It's at my mom and dad's house. Certificate and everything.
Yeah, no, that's big. That's big. Getting nominated for McDonald's is tough.
Yeah.
Not everybody gets to make that final cut.
That's what I'm saying. I was upset about not making the final cut, but I was still, you know, still happy that I achieved a little bit of that.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So, senior year is complete. What's going on with the offers at this point?
Oh, I forgot to tell you, like, throughout my senior year, I probably ended with, like, 20 plus B1 offers, for real. It was crazy. Just, like, I got my first one from Cleveland State, then my second one from Marshall University, and then after that, just, once you get your first D1 offer, next thing you know, you get 6-7. Like, oh my God, it was crazy. So after that, after my senior basketball season, my dad sat down with me. He's like, all right, now it's time to take visits. I think we only get like 5 or 4 at the time. It might have changed now.
Yep.
You know, I've been out of high school for a while. But I took my first visit to, what was it, Arkansas or Alabama? It was one of them, Arkansas, Alabama. And it was just a drag, man. Then I went to DePaul, then I went to UIC. I was just like tired of it. It was tiring, like flying everywhere, driving, and
Yeah.
you know, everybody telling you everything good. Nobody, you know, you don't know if they're keeping it real with you or they just saying it to get you. Like it was mentally draining. Like I was like, dang, this is what people got to go through.
Yeah.
But it was a blessing at the same time. So yeah, did my visits, talked to my mom and dad, and I chose UIC.
Other than UIC, though, let's say you didn't go to UIC. What other schools or school would you have went to?
It was between DePaul or Tennessee.
DePaul or Tennessee. Now let's make it even harder. Now you got to pick one. Which one you picking
I gotta
between
pick one.
DePaul and Tennessee? Yeah.
What I know now, I would have went to DePaul.
Okay.
If I was thinking of like senior year, 18-year-old Kimbe, I would have went to Tennessee. If that
Okay.
makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, that does make sense. We're not going to
Okay.
touch on it, but
Yeah.
I kind of understand. I
Okay.
kind of
Okay.
understand. Yep, we're not going to talk. Yep, we're not going to
Okay,
touch on
okay,
that.
okay, okay.
Okay, but we got UIC. High school is over with. Let's talk about your first year at UIC. You're a freshman on campus. Always a great feeling to make that jump from high school to college. Break down the whole freshman year for us. Break it down.
You want me to start from like, 'cause I end up going to school to my school like in June. 'Cause you know you do summer workouts and stuff like that. I took fall classes. So like, you
Okay,
want me to
so
talk about that?
then let's fast forward to October, November, freshman year.
Okay,
Let's
okay,
fast forward.
okay, okay. First game was against University of San Francisco or something like that. They was at our house. God, what I had. I think I had 13 or 14 points that game. Maybe like 9 or 10 rebounds. I don't remember clearly, but we was down 2 or 1. And I had a wide open 3 to win the game, and I missed it. Man, I started crying. I was crying and stuff like that. And
Now, for that game, let's backtrack a little bit. Practices
okay.
before the season started. How did it how was that adjustment? How were your
See
teammates?
what's crazy. People don't believe me when I tell them this. Like when I first got there, now you're going against like grown man. Like they big 250, and like I wasn't scared of that. I was telling my dad, I'm like, I don't think I'm gonna be able to compete at this. So now I'm like 6'6". I probably weigh like 165. So I'm scrawny. And our first like open gym and stuff like that, where like we just rolled the ball out and our teams play 5-on-5. And I got out there and I realized, I'm like, oh, I can keep up with them. I'm killing. Like in the first day, like I was killing them so bad. Like our assistant coach came down there. He was like, man, y'all let this little boy come in here and kill y'all like that. Y'all should be ashamed. Like it was like that. So like when I seen that I could do that, you know, I called my dad because he ain't moved to Illinois yet. He ain't moved back yet. He's still in West Virginia. So I called my dad. I'm like, Dad, I can keep up with these dudes. And my dad was like, yeah, I was never worried about that. He was like, I raised you well enough to have no fear. Like I wasn't thinking about that. So yeah, so it was pretty simple for me. Like it was easy. Like it was a nice adjustment. My teammates was cool. My coach was cool. Like. My freshman year, so yeah, it wasn't bad. Like I was a man from the get go, once the coach seen that. And
Perfect,
that's the reason why I
perfect.
wanted to go. That's the reason why I chose UIC too. Like the stuff he told me during my visit,
Visit.
you know, like I felt like I always would have been that one dude. I always been that guy that wanted to go somewhere and help a team instead of going to a team that's already good. That's why I chose that small school. Everybody wonder why I chose a small school instead of going to like Tennessee, UNLV, like where I got all them offers from. And I wanted to go to a school that needed me and not just wanted me.
Really?
I wanted
Yes.
to impact off from the get go.
Yes. And I did hear you say that in one of your interviews about going to a
Yeah.
school that needed you instead of wanting
Instead,
you, because I
yeah,
definitely see that.
I always wanted that. I always like to this day, like I always want to go on teams that ain't that good, and I want to make a difference. You know, I feel like I'm good enough to do that.
Definitely. So back to freshman year, we talked about the first game. Talk about the rest of the season, real quick. Give us a.
Oh my God, freshman year we won like three games. But like I'm doing really well. We wasn't bad on paper. Like if you look at our roster, we wasn't bad. It was a lot of stuff going on, like outside of basketball. People wasn't really locked in, you know what I'm saying? Like so like we was just losing bad. But I was doing everything I could. Like it was one game my freshman year, I had 40 points and like 17 rebounds. We still lost.
Who'd y'all play against when you did that?
Youngstown State, I think. Youngstown, yeah. In the Horizon League.
Mm-hmm.
Played against them. My first game came against either Wright State or Cleveland State. And, like, when I tell you we were so excited we won that first game, like, we, like, 1-15. We celebrating like we won a championship.
You said 1-15.
Yeah, we was like 1-15, and we celebrating like we won the championship. My first college win, I was geeked. Man, I was geeked.
What's the most popular team you played against freshman year?
Freshman year, who did we play the freshman year? Illinois. We played Illinois.
Played Illinois. How did that game go for you?
Man, I was killing them boys. We played at the United, and I think I had like 22, and I think I might have had a double-double that game. I don't remember. If not, I had like 9 or 8 rebounds. We got beat, obviously, but like I was killing. They had Kendrick Nunn at the time, Malcolm Hill. So I first half, I think I only had like 9 points in the first half.
Only nine. The second half, I came out
and finished with like 22, something like that. I was killing.
Against Kendrick Nunn, too, solid.
Yeah, yeah. Killing them boys. And I was guarding their best player, which was Malcolm Hill at the time. Okay. Like I was switching.
Kendrick Nunn wasn't the best player?
I don't know if he was the best player on that team. I think that, you know, they was like neck and neck type stuff. So like I was switching on to Kendrick Nunn, guarding Malcolm Hill. Like.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if Kendrick Nunn wasn't killing until he came to the Horizon League, for real. Like, when he came to the Horizon League, that boy was a dog. He was tough to handle, for real, when we played against him.
Definitely. So,
that's my boy, though.
Up, you said what?
That's my boy, Kendrick Nunn.
Kendrick, you still talk to him?
The last time I talked to him was, like, a couple years ago, right before he signed with Miami. He came to my penthouse in Miami because we was working out there, and he came up there and he was like, "Hey man, I think I'm finna sign with Miami." I was like, "Swear to God." He's like, "I swear, bro." I'm like, "Man, that's a blessing, bro. I'm proud of you."
Yeah.
And next thing you know, he got Kendrick, that call like a day later.
Right. Kendrick is tough, so I'm definitely proud of him
for sure.
He's definitely a good player.
I was happy for that boy, especially the stuff he's been through.
Definitely. Let's jump into that sophomore year.
Okay.
What's your mindset? What are your expectations going into sophomore year?
To be better than last year. Win games, you know. Because, like, people, like, I had a little buzz, but ain't nobody going to be talking about you just because you average 20 in, but y'all losing every game, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So my goal was to average more and get wins. And that's what we was doing. But I ended up tearing my ACL, like, the ninth game against DePaul.
Oh, my God.
But before I tore my ACL, I was top three in scoring. Like, in Division I basketball, I was averaging, like, 25.
Right.
I was top three in scoring, top one in, like, free throws attempt. Top three in, like, how fast, like, I get up the court, like, with
and this
transition.
And this is what I'm saying. It's like, once I saw the PBC combine, which we're still going to talk about, and then I started research, I'm like, bro, like, this, bro, Dikembe, why was nobody talking about Dikembe, bro? Like, why? It didn't make no sense to me, bro. Like, you were top three in scoring. Like, bro, yeah. like you were just, I mean, I know it mostly has to do with the fact that, like, UIC needed some work to do in regards to wins. But yeah. It don't matter because even if you want to talk about Ben Simmons, who I hate now, by the way, even if you want to talk about Ben, it's like LSU wasn't that good. But, I mean, it's like, bro, we're talking about Ben. It's like, bro, you were killing, bro. And it's crazy. I'm mad that I didn't find out about you until after the fact. But let's get back to that sophomore year. So once you tore your ACL, were you go ahead. Were you done for the season?
Oh, my bad. Say that again. When I tore my ACL, what happened?
I was gonna say once you tore your ACL sophomore year, were you done for the season or you ended up coming back?
Yeah, I was done. My coach wasn't letting me come back. I was done. Okay. I thought my career was over.
Oh my God.
My mom and dad was at the game. I'm like, I'm done. Like, my career over. My dad was like, boy, this not the 1900s. That's exactly how he said it. He's like, quit crying. You all right. This is not the 1950s. You okay. Like, technology nowadays, you're gonna be straight. You just got to work hard. That's what my dad said. Right. And I was working really hard, like 2-3 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
I was determined. I was like, I want to reach my goals. But, you know, I had a little falling out with my coaches my junior year. You know, that's what happened. I think that's why, like, and I think, I don't really want to say, but I know that, you know, they were saying some stuff to scouts and stuff like that. But, you know, I ain't going to dwell on the past. I ain't mad about it no more. I was bitter for about a couple of years about the stuff that I put my blood, sweat, and tears into that team. And even though we had a little falling out, you go behind my back and you do stuff like that, knowing my circumstances and my family and stuff like that. So, you know, it's whatever, you know. I believe in karma.
And this is what I keep on saying. So I be like, these coaches, like, you guys that haven't really been there at a high level, you don't understand you don't understand these coaches, man. You don't understand what they do to players and how they affect players' lives outside of it. Like their talent is already there, but just like other stuff, it's crazy, man.
I've been robbed by two coaches in my basketball career. But, you know, it's all good. I ain't going to give up. I know, and people around me know that I should be in the league, but it's all good.
So that's a fact. That's a fact for sure. Because even just with, like, we'll talk about the NBA stuff later. Can you making me jump, man?
My bad.
You got to stick to college, bro.
Right now,
your mindset. Right now, we at UIC. Right now, that's it.
Let's get to
junior. So you tore your ACL, and then you're rehabbing. You're doing all that stuff. You're back for junior year, right?
Yep. I actually, the doctor said I healed way faster. Like, I think I was healed like in like 5 months. But, you know, my coach wasn't risking it.
Right.
He's like, no, just come. Because I wanted to come back. I was trying to come back. Yeah, I was trying to come back. I was like, I'm good. Coach, let me come. He's like, nope, we can't risk it. Just wait till next year.
Okay.
So now
next year as in junior year.
Yeah, junior year. Yep.
Okay. So now let's talk about junior year. Break down that whole entire. Break down. I'm gonna give you the floor. Break down that year. Break down the best team you played against. Break down the best player you played against, and break down just overall at the end of it how that year went.
Okay. So my first game back, we went against St. Joseph, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I had like 20, 21 points. And I don't know, like, that year just didn't feel like all the other years, like how my coach was rocking with me. Like, it was just weird. Like, he was subbing me at times where I, like, didn't need to be subbed. It was crazy. So, like, I'm feeling the type of way, like, the whole season. But the best player I went against was Knox. Kevin Knox went to Kentucky. We played against Kentucky in, I forgot, the Rupp tournament, something like that. I forgot the tournament name. We played against them. We played against Troy, Troy University.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot the other team we played against, but Knox was the best player I went against.
Break down that Kentucky game. Break down that Kentucky game for me, and break down seeing Calipari.
Okay, well, me and Knox, you know, we close. So, like, he ended up telling me what Calipari was saying, like, about, like, doing a scouting report, and he was like, Dikembe Dixon, he an NBA player, he a pro. So, like, y'all can't take this team lightly, even though they blew us out by, like, 40. But that's what he said. None of my shots was falling, but I was still, you know, I was getting to the line and getting to the basket and stuff like that. I think I had made, I think I ended with like 14 points. It was a bad game for me. Yeah, it was a bad game for me. And then, but my dad was okay because it was a lot going on leading up to that. So my dad was okay with that, you know, playing the way I was being played and stuff like that had a big part. And I don't really like to say that because, you know, a lot of people that don't really know basketball are going to look at it like, oh, he making excuses on why he didn't reach the end. You know what I'm saying? But it's that's why I really like talking about it. But, like, when I do these interviews and stuff like that, I just keep it a buck. So, and then Coach Calipari came to the locker room after our game. He came in there and he literally pointed at me and he's like, you a hell of a player. Like, you really, really good. Like, just keep doing what you're doing and everything going to be right. And that's what he told me, like, in front of the whole team, in front of my coach. And I was just like, thanks, you know. So, like, when I got my respect from him, you know, like, that was a big goal because Kentucky was a school that I wanted to go to. Like I told you earlier, I went to an unofficial visit. That's when they had James Young, Archie, Nerlens, them. That's when they had that team.
Right.
I went to the school for a little visit. But, yeah, like he said that. But, yeah, Knox was the best player I went against that year.
No, that's incredible. Like, that's why, like, I wanted to touch on Kentucky once you brought it up. Like, having a coach like Calipari acknowledge you and tell you that you're a hell of a player.
That was big time. Like, I told my homies and that. They were like, swear he said that. I said, I swear.
No, that's definitely big time, man. Like, once you get that stamp, I'm sure for, like, the rest of the year after that, it was just, like, that just boosted your confidence by, like, 1,000%.
It did, but, like, it was so much going on already, like, leading up, because that's, like, towards the end of the year, you know? So, not towards the end, like, the middle. Like, there was so much going on. Like, I don't know. Like, it was just, like, my coaches kind of stopped rocking with me in a way. Like, I guess they expected me to be that little boy I was when I first came to college. You know, I kind of drifted apart. Like, not like my freshman year, I used to always go see my coaches and stuff like that, you know. Like, and then as I got older, like, I started meeting new people and I branched out. So I wasn't really going to see my coaches as much in the office. You know, they wanted me to come up there and see them. And I'm like, coach, I grew up. You know what I'm saying? I'm not that little boy no more. Like, I don't need to hold my hand no more. I'm 21. You know what I'm saying? I was 17, 18 when I got here.
Right.
So, like, I think that we kind of fell off that way, and he wanted me to still be that little boy and all that. But, like, to this day, I got much love for him. Like, he helped me out big time. Like he changed my life for real in a good way.
In a good way, definitely.
And he changed my life in a good way. So I never take that away from him. Do I think he could have went about it a different way? Yes. You know what I'm saying? But I still got love for him. I love that coach. For real. He changed my life.
That's a fact. That's a fact. You always got love for coaches that do stuff for you. And you're always going to have love for coaches that put you on that platform and put you in a position where you're going to be a solid player. And that's great.
Without him, no one would know who Dikembe was. Even if we had a falling out, so I always got to give him that. And outside of basketball, he took care of me. Like when I ain't had no money, you know, they a cook. He invite me to his house. His wife very lovely. His son. Mm-hmm. He always let me come over his house if I was hungry. Like I never take that from him.
That's crazy.
We just had a little falling out on the basketball side of things.
Right. That's solid. Man. Thank you for letting us know that. thank you for like giving us like the picture of like what it was with you and your coach. I mean, because this is the first time actually, because all the other interviews I've done, they've definitely spoke about their coaches, but they never like went into like talked about like their coaches as much as like you are and like what the coaches have done to them and for them. Like, I can hear it in your voice that it's definitely there's some pain there, but like there's also like some joy there. Like he actually like really like turned it around for you.
Yeah, so, he really did. I don't know what I would have did if I didn't meet him, for real.
That's tough to come back.
He was a great guy.
That's tough. Let's jump into senior year now. First off, how did the what was the record for junior year? How did it end? What was your record?
My junior year, we was above 500. I don't know exactly the record, but we made it. We was top three in our conference. Like our conference was top three, so we had a bye game when it was tournament time. We was playing against Milwaukee. If we'd have beat them, we'd have went to conference championship game. And then if we'd have beat that team, which we would have beat that second team, if we'd have beat that team, we would have went to March Madness. And that was the goal of mine, too, to make March Madness. Every year we came short. But this year was the year. My junior year was the year we were supposed to make it. And we were playing Milwaukee, University of Milwaukee. I think that's the name of the school, Milwaukee University, something like that. But we was going against them, and we was beating them. They had a decent dude on their team. I forgot his name. They had a little decent dude. He was nice little shot. We was beating them, and my coach just took me out for some reason. Took me out, and I'm like, Coach, what you taking me out for? Like, we ain't got this game. I think it's still like maybe like 7 minutes left in the second half. And I'm like, Coach, why you take me out? He ain't say nothing to me. He just walked right by me. And I'm like, okay, that's weird, whatever. So I'm sitting on the bench. Like 5 minutes go by. So now it's like 3 minutes left in the second half. And now we down like 10. And I'm like, Coach, put me back in the game. Like, what's going on? Even the player's like, bro, why you take Dikembe out? Like our point guard. He's like, why are you taking him out the game? We need him. Put him back in. Like, so now when he put me back in, it's like 2 minutes left, and we down like 10, 13, and now he want me to play hero ball. And I'm like, no, I can't do that. This, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is college basketball. Ain't no way I can come. We're going to be able to do that now. I've been sitting on the bench for 6, 7 minutes. So we end up losing, you know. Emotions was flaring. And I'm like, we lost that game. So now I'm really mad because, you know, that was my year.
Right.
That's all I think I had to do was make it to the – March Madness, I think my future would have been different.
Why the hell would he take you out, though?
To this day, I don't know. None of the assistant coaches said nothing to me. I'm talking to them. I'm like, what are y'all doing? Put me back in the game. And they act like I was a ghost. No one looked at me. No one said anything to me. So I'm like, but like I told you, it was like a falling out between my coach as he, like, towards the end of the year. So I'm like, is they doing this? Now I'm thinking, like, I'm like, is they doing this so I come back another year? Like, they trying to sabotage my career now? Like, you know, I'm thinking like that. So I'm like, man, I ain't coming back to this school. And I told them that. So my junior year is my last year. I was like, I'm not coming back. And you got to think my dad at the game, too. So he's seeing it. So what I'm saying, I'm not lying. He's sitting right behind our bench. So he sees it.
That was probably pissed, bro. I'm pissed.
Oh, my goodness. My dad was – oh, my God. My dad was – my dad got on Facebook, was like, I'm about to expose this school, and I'm finna tell on this stuff. You know, I'm like, nah, we ain't gonna do that. I told my dad, I'm like, nah, we ain't gonna do that. Even though they did it to me, I told my dad we gonna be the bigger people. You know what I'm saying? And we not gonna try to get even, because we could have got even, for real. But I was like, nah, we not gonna do that. I said, I'm gonna be straight regardless. And my mom and dad was like, okay. But they was mad, boy. They was about to expose some stuff that I ain't gonna say. But so then we had our little exit meetings thing. My coach like, I want you to come back next season. And I'm like, Coach, you really think I'm gonna come back after the way you played me this year? Like, you're crazy. So I think that's where, you know, where the scouts come in, and, you know, the little stuff I told you earlier, like how he went, behind my back and told coaches stuff and like that to get me to come back. And I know for a fact that it happened. Even if he said it didn't happen, I know for a fact because my agent told me from what Scout said that my coach told him. So then I had to start all over again like I did my junior year. And now that's where I'm at now. I'm still trying to, I'm trying to get back on the right path and stuff like that.
Right. So
yeah, it was crazy.
Obviously, senior year you came back.
No, I didn't come back. I didn't come back my senior year.
Didn't go back your senior year?
Nope, I went pro right after. I was going back to that school. Leading up to that, I was finna transfer. And, like, I had Kentucky was interested, Tennessee, other schools were interested in me. And I was like, nah, man, I need to start making money.
I think if you would have transferred, my bad. I thought you played all four.
That's a regret that I don't really have a regret, but if I would say I had a regret, that's one of my regrets, going pro instead of transferring. If I knew what I knew now, I would have transferred because I know for a fact if I transferred, I'd be in the league.
If you transferred, were you going to have eligibility right away? They weren't going to sit you for like a year?
I think they changed the rule like a year after I left. So I think if I would have left, I would have had to sit out a year. And that's the reason why I didn't.
Right.
I think that's exactly why I didn't transfer. I was like, I don't feel like sitting out a year.
That makes
but
sense.
It was a year later, if I was like class of 2016 or something, I would have been able to do it.
Damn, I thought
right after that
all,
they changed.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I did not left right after my
years.
Senior year.
But it's cool,
my professional career when it first started was rocky, but it was because of me because I was so mad at like what my coaches did. Like I got invited to the G League showcase and all that stuff, and I turned it all. I was so mad.
Nah, man. I don't like the way your college career ended, man. I don't like that at all, man.
Yeah, it was bad.
I ain't even know this. Yeah. I don't like that at all, man. I don't.
And
like
I said, it ain't all on my coach. It was me being young and dumb and let my emotions get the best of me. Like,
right.
I could have handled that a lot better. So have the other side, you know what I'm saying? I'm not just blaming everything on them. I had a huge part because I even had chances after that that would have helped me get to the league. And I blew that because I was so mad. But I was young, you know what I'm saying? It ain't. That was 4 or 5 years ago.
I feel you, bro.
Still young, still learning.
So after the season, obviously you're going pro. What was going through your head at that? I know you were still upset, but what were like the next steps? How did it lead up to like the combines and like stuff like that? Like going to that specific PBC combine.
So,
break that all down.
So right after the season ended, I think I left. I packed all my stuff up. School's still going. I left.
Mm-hmm.
I left, but most of my class was online at that point anyway. So I left. My team ended up getting invited to the NIT. I forgot what it was called. CIT. Something they got invited to. And I was like, man, I'm not playing in that. No, I'm not doing that. I was like, no, I'm not playing in that. Like, I was mad. I was like, no, I'm not doing that. I was like, I'm not playing in that. I said, I want to go to March Madness. That's the goal I had. And y'all ruined it. I'm not playing in that. And my teammates were like, I understand. Like, my teammates was cool with it. They understood. They knew exactly what was going on. They understood. Like, none of my teammates was bitter about it. None of them. They all told me to my face, like, I understand why you're doing what you got to do. And we support you 100%. It was just the coaches that was upset about it. So I was like, yeah, I'm not doing that. So I ended up moving. I met with the agency that Kevin Knox signed with, Bears. I don't know if you heard of them. I went
Say
to Cleveland.
Say the agency
Bears. Bears. They got Oladipo, Terry Rozier, Derrick Jones Jr., Kevin Knox, Antonio Blakeney, Ray Spalding.
Okay.
They got like a lot of people that played in the NBA. Brandon Sampson, Kaiser Gates.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about B-Sam too, because I know, I remember you were cool, you're super cool with B-Sam, but
yeah, B-Sam.
How does that work with the agency? Do they pay you to sign? Like, how does that work? Because I never asked them.
Dave Mariotti, he reached out to me like way before that, but I'm like, I'm in season right now, I don't want to talk about that, you know.
Yeah.
So I guess he was following me until, and then after that, he ended up hitting me up. And he was like, hey, we got an agency that we interested in and stuff, that we interested in you and stuff like that. You should come to Cleveland. So, like, I went to Cleveland. I worked out in front of, like, the head man. And they was like, oh, yeah, we like him. We like what we see. And I signed with them. I ended up signing with them. But they don't. Now, maybe if I was, like, number one draft pick, top 10, they probably would have paid me. But, you know, they knew I wasn't going to get drafted after, like, the way stuff ended and stuff like that. So, no, they ain't pay me. Yeah. But they gave me a chance. And that's how I got invited to the G League Showcase. I got invited to that. I was so mad. Man, I was so mad. I wish I could go back and fix that. I was so mad. I was like, man, I don't want to play in G League.
Yeah, no, everything happens for a reason, though.
Yeah, for sure.
You did end up playing in the G League, but we're going to talk about that also.
Yeah.
Did you do any combines before the PBC combine?
Nope, that was the only one. I was supposed to do the G League showcase.
Okay, so it was the G League showcase. You turned that down, then you did the PBC combine.
Turned it down like an idiot. not knowing no better. Could have been on a two-way, exhibit 10, training camp, something. I didn't even think about all that. I was so mad.
I feel you, man. No, I get it, man. People get mad, and then they let certain things go. I understand, man. I understand. And I'm hurting for you, too, man. I'm hurting for you, too. But it's okay.
I'm in a good place right now.
Definitely.
I forgave everybody. I reached out to my coach. I told him I'm sorry. Told him I forgive him.
Right. That's huge. Yeah, a lot of people would never do that, but that's big of you that you texted him and you said, I mean, it's all good, we can move on. Cause
yeah.
Hey, I'm gonna be honest with me. I probably wouldn't have done that.
I just felt like my career wasn't going well, so I'm thinking maybe if I ain't have so much hate, cause like I literally hated them, like. I ain't never hated nobody. Like, I really hated them. And I talked to my dad, and he was like, maybe you need to find peace. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was always angry.
Right.
Leading up to the PBC, that's why I was acting like that. You know, I was like, I just had so much hate in my heart.
Right.
So much build up and pain. So I wanted to reach out to them and say sorry. And when I did that, I felt like a whole boulder was, like, lifted off my shoulders, like, I became happy again, and basketball's like doors started opening. I feel like things started getting way better when I apologized and got rid of all that hate in my heart.
Definitely. I like that. I like that for sure, man. I like that for sure. I'm happy that after doing that and apologizing, you were able to, like, more things started happening for you. And that's,
yeah.
That goes to show, man, that, like, certain things, like, that you do, your actions can really, like, help you, like, down the line. So I'm happy that you were able to find peace and forgive the coaches. Now let's talk about that combine, man.
Okay.
Let's talk about that PBC combine for a second. How, when you walked into that gym and you saw LeVar Ball, how did you feel seeing him?
I was like, I'm finna try to, if I get a chance to play against his son, I'm gonna try to kill him. That's the mindset I had. I called my dad, I told him, and my dad was like, do what you gotta do. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was my goal. Like, I want to go at him.
Right at his head, which you did. Because there's film of that too. Right.
I ain't got nothing to lose. I'm trying to go at him. And our first game, we matched up against them.
Right. Right. Break down, if you can remember that game, break it down for us.
Leading up to it, I was hanging with LeAngelo. He a cool dude. Like, outside of basketball, he cool for real. Like, I was walking around with him. We were talking, chopping it up. He was a cool dude. His dad cool. Like, everything was cool. Just when I got on that court, we're not friends, you know?
Definitely.
But outside the court, we was cool. But leading up to it, you know, we had to do, like, the stuff nobody really wanted to do, like the drills, agility, and 3-4 sprint, you know. But I was taking all that stuff like it was the real deal, you know what I'm saying? I'm like the NBA combine for real. Like, I'm in there trying to go hard. I'm trying to get the best results. Like, I was, like, top three in everything.
Right, right, right.
You know, I had goals. My dad was like, don't go down there playing around. Take it serious. He's like, I know it ain't the real combine, but, like, you know what I'm saying? You might be able to get something out of it. So, like, I was looking at it like that.
Mm-hmm. And then in that combine, man, it's all on film. Anybody can just YouTube. You can put in LeAngelo PBC combine. You can put in Dikembe PBC combine. No matter what you put in, it's going to pop up. You put in even if you just type in Dikembe Dixon on YouTube, that combine is going to pop up. And then you can see exactly what he did. It's like, it was just back and forth talking. Like, you could, Dikembe was out there to kill, man. That's the video I'm letting everybody know now. I didn't know who Dikembe was until I saw that video. Once I saw that video.
I went in there. No one knew who I was. No one was talking to me. It was like NBA scouts in there. A lot of news. The cameras, nothing was on me. And then, like, our first day, we started doing stuff, and I just made an impact from that day. I had a chip on my shoulder. But like I told you, I had a whole bunch of stuff built up, too, so.
That's a fact, man. That's a fact. But at the same time, yo, once you got that, I get it, like, with the anger and, like, the hate, how it's, like, toxic. But it's like, bro, like, that anger and hate, when you're on the court, because I felt it too, when you're on the court, you're playing against somebody, bro, and you got that animosity, bro, it makes you play better too.
Yeah.
It makes you play better, like, you know what I'm saying? It makes you play better, man.
Yeah,
you were an animal in that combine, bro. For real, for real.
And after that, everybody, then all the cameras was in my face, like, interviewing me and stuff like that.
Right, right.
Talking about me, they started doing their research and seeing that I was, like, actually a dog in college. I wasn't just there, like, just to be there.
Yes. No, that's a fact. That is a fact, bro. And shout out to LeAngelo Ball, too. LeAngelo Ball is hitting a lot of shots, man. LeAngelo Ball is not, he's not that bad. LeAngelo Ball can hoop, man. Shout out to LeAngelo Ball.
He really
Ball,
can. People don't really know basketball like that. You know what I'm saying? They don't understand the politics and all that.
Yeah.
People that's actually in the game, watch the game and know a lot, talk to basketball players like you. Like, you know, like, a lot of stuff that's going on. Like you said about the coaches, like, a lot of people don't know about that. Or, like, people sitting on the bench that are actually good and they're killing practice.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people don't know stuff like that, and they don't think like that.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact. Thank you for noticing that, Dikembe. Yeah, I notice a lot, man. I've been there, too, a little bit, so I have an idea.
Yeah, a lot of people.
That's why I love talking to y'all, bro, because people just look on the outside looking in, and then it's just like, but nah, I love hearing y'all's story, man.
They only know the basketball side of things, like, they don't see what
bro.
We do. They don't know what we go through, what put us through this, what made us this. You know what I'm saying? They don't really care.
They don't really care. No, they don't. They don't, man. They don't, man. They don't. These dudes that be playing and, like, I mean, these gyms and all this other stuff, they see you there and they automatically think, oh, we all on the same level. It's like, no, we not on the same level.
No, it's not like that.
Right? We not on the same level. I'm here just to work out and whatever. You're here because
you
take being in this gym serious. Like, it's all types of stuff, man. It's all types of. I'm gonna get deeper into, like, how I feel about, like, that, like, how stuff is going on now. We going, like, it, like, social media. We gonna talk about all that stuff later. But let's get right into the PBC combine. We're done talking about that. And like I said, go YouTube that. Anyone that listens to this episode, go YouTube that, Dikembe Dixon, and then scroll down. You're going to see the combine. You're going to see LeAngelo as well. And then you'll see why Dikembe is up here right now. You'll see why. Like, as soon as, like, I saw that, I wanted, like, I had
that
to,
was
like,
what, like 4 years ago? I'm way better than
ago.
That.
Yeah, that was
I improved so much.
Right, because I saw your movements in the combine recently, in comparison to like your overseas stuff, and I'm like, yeah, he's definitely a lot faster now. That was so long ago.
That's always been a goal, of just every year get better than last year, even if it's 1%. Right. You know what I'm saying? Not a big jump, but a small jump. Like I'll take it.
That's a fact. That's a fact. So past the combine, what was the next step after the combine? It was so long ago, I know, but whatever you can remember.
I'm trying to love it. Okay, so this is where I said, like, the beginning of my career was shaky. So I turned down the G League showcase, right?
Right.
Because I got invited right after the draft happened or something, like, before the draft happened. I forget what happened, how it went.
Yep.
I turned that down because I was upset. I don't remember how it was. I think it was after the draft combined. That's why I was mad, because I went undrafted. I was upset about that. And then I was like, I'm not doing that. So I ended up going to Lebanon, which was a huge mistake. But I enjoyed my time over there. But it was a huge mistake on my career level. I went over there. I think I was averaging like 23, 22 or whatever. And I'm like, nah, I got to get back home. This is too easy. Like, I ain't getting better over here. So I called my agent. I left in like September, early September. And then I ended up coming back to the States in December. And that's when the Windy City Bulls picked me up. The Bulls G League team picked me up for the G League. Right. So I started playing with them. So that's how that happened. I got back in the G League. And when I tell you, like, the G League was, like, I enjoyed that. Like, even though I was barely playing, like, I wasn't really playing like that. But
Whoa. You ain't talking about NBA Summer League, man.
Oh, I forgot about the Summer League.
You ain't talking about NBA Summer League, man. That's what I was I thought that was what you were building up to. I was like, bro, what?
My bad. Yeah. I forgot all about that. Okay, so before
rewind
I went to Lebanon. Rewind. Sorry about that. There's so much
you're
that
good.
Went on in my life in these past 5 years. Like,
right. So, right. No, you good.
So the Summer League, I got picked up by the Miami Heat.
Right.
I got to the Miami Heat. A little nervous, you know, I'm around NBA guys now. Like, I'm a little nervous. You got to think, I never really had a real trainer. My dad trained me. So I'm kind of behind. Like, the terminology they was using, I didn't know yet. Because my dad was training me. Like, I didn't have, like, an NBA trainer or none of that. So skill level, I'm on their level. But, like, the mind, knowledge, and mental, I'm not on their level, if that makes sense.
Right.
So, like, everybody went to, like, people I'm going against were, like, Notre Dame, Tennessee, Kentucky, like, big schools, SEC, ACC type stuff. And then I'm at a mid-major where I ain't learned all the stuff they learned. So it was a big difference. But, like, I'm one of them dudes that catch on quick. Like, I pick up things quick. So my summer league, if you watch, like, I had a couple games where, like, I played well, but it was only for, like, 9 minutes. I didn't play that much to really showcase my stuff.
Right.
But, like, I improved a lot, though. Like, I learned a lot. Like, each day we practiced and stuff like that, I was getting better and better. Like, I was picking up stuff quick. I ain't have no choice.
Right.
So, summer league happened, was a big accomplishment. You know, everybody was like, oh, you made summer league. But I'm looking at it like, I barely played out there. I'm mad as heck. You know what I'm saying? I'm mad. I barely played. So after the summer league, I was upset with my agent because I felt like they wasn't really fighting for me. You know what I'm saying? I feel like they was just doing enough just so I can, okay, you made the summer league. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that's a big accomplishment. But I'm not that type of dude. Like, I want to play. Like, I'd rather not make summer league if I knew I wasn't going to play. That's just the mindset I am. I'm happy I did it. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But
right.
The mindset I have is, like, I want to play. Like, my whole life I've been playing. Like, I ain't never really had to sit the bench. And that was the first time. And it was tough on me. Mentally, it was tough. So then after that, I was upset with the NBA. That's why I turned down all that stuff. And then I ended up going to Lebanon. Then fast forward, I came back to the G League. I went to the Windy City Bulls. I'm killing in practice. And I'm like, dang, why I'm not playing? Like, it got to the point where I was playing so well in practice that the head coach was like, man, like, you deserve to be playing. So I got a guy that's in Washington, D.C., which was Capital City Go-Go. He's like, they want you. We're going to trade for you, and you're going to go there. He said, right now, I know you're upset that you're getting traded, but it's going to help you in the future. And when I got there, I was getting a lot more playing time. I was getting a lot more playing time. So what he said was facts. Like, I played more. Then I had a big game. Like, I ended up playing, like, 20-something minutes and finished with 20 points.
Who is the best player you played against during your G League stint?
Best player I played against.
Between both teams, Windy City and Capital Go-Go.
So when I was with the Windy City Bulls, the best player I played against was either Jakar Sampson or Walter Lemon Jr.
Okay.
And then when I went to D.C., it was Jordan McRae. I'm pretty sure you know Jordan McRae.
Yeah.
Okay, it was him. Like, that man, I watched that boy. Oh, my goodness. Me and him used to go at it in practice. But in games, I watched that boy put up like 50 in one half. Like, that boy can score easy.
That's crazy.
But, like, going against other people, like against another team, it was probably Dwayne Bacon. Like, when he was with Charlotte, he had a little run in the G League. He used to come down and play. And that boy made it look easy, and people used to always think he was bad because he wasn't playing up. Like, in the NBA, he was on the team, but he wasn't playing that much. But, like, that boy got some G.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, nah,
people just don't – he just never really got the chance.
Yeah, now D-Baker's tough for sure. D-Baker's tough.
Yeah, he never really got
the chance. D-Baker's so tough. I'm so mad – him too, man. I'm so mad that he's overseas right now, bro. Like, it doesn't really make sense. Like, D-Baker was a monster. Why do you think, like, with the G League real quick, why do you think, like, a lot of players that are even just killing in the G League, scoring crazy? Because you look at my guy, Russ Smith. I'm a huge Louisville fan. Huge Louisville fan.
Yeah, I know who Russ Smith is, yeah.
You look at Russ Smith. Bro, off the couch, bro. Bro, if you follow him on Twitter, bro, like, lately, he's older now. He's like around. He doesn't even really talk about basketball like that. He'll talk about stocks. He'll talk about everything else, bro. And then he just comes off the couch, comes into the G League recently, and then drops 40. And he's 30, 31 now. How is he not in the league, man? Like, why do they
– people, because it's more to it than just scoring. I think how, like, me on the outside looking, I don't know exactly how, like, GMs and coaches and stuff think, but I think they look at it as, like, when you get to the NBA, we already got guys that can get 40. We need you to do something. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not going to be that guy like you are in the G League.
Yeah.
I think they look at it like that. Like, that's why I think they, like, in the G League, like, a lot of people that get moved up really be, like, 6-7 guys that's 3-and-D type. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where you can just come in the game, play some good defense for, like, 10 minutes, knock down a couple corner threes or wing threes and stuff like that, then the starter five come back in. I think that's what they look at more so than, like, somebody putting up 40. Cause when
that's
you get
a
to
fact
the NBA,
because – that's a fact because Russ did – I forgot where I seen him in an interview. He talked about it where it's, like, it's business where, like,
yeah.
you're not – like, if a G League guy's moving up, they gonna give him, like, 500K, maybe a mil. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the guys that are making 40, 50, 60, 70 mil, like the Bronze and all them.
Yeah.
You're like, bro, like, no matter what we do, they're not going to – they can't give somebody that's making 500K a mil more minutes than a guy that's making –
exactly.
It's just 40.
It's just bad business. Like, I'm investing $60 million into this guy, but I'm playing him 2 minutes. Like, no, they're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Even if you're better
saying.
Than that person, even if you dog him in practice, like, it's just not – it can't – because then they're looking at it like, I just wasted money. You know what I'm saying?
Right. That's a fact.
So, like,
bro,
they look at it like that. Like, it sucks, but that's just life, you know? And we knew about that going into this business.
Right. So, Yeah, man. But I'm glad that you had a great G League experience, man.
Oh yeah, people, they taught me so much. Taught me so much. That's what my game as a professional. That's when I made that jump.
Right.
They taught me. They taught me the terms. Like I come into practice, they talking about, dang, what they used to say. I forgot the name, but they used to say something. I'm like, coach, I don't know what that is. And he's like, did they teach you? They, you know, he used to make jokes. He was a cool coach. He's like, did they teach you anything at UIC, man?
Yeah.
And I'm like, nah, not really.
He said, not really.
Like, it was just my dad. I was like, it was just my dad. And fortunately, my dad don't know everything about the NBA. He ain't never been. So we don't know the terms and stuff like that.
Right, right.
But I caught on pretty quick. I love my time in the G League.
Because even going into the G League, there's a lot of people that they stiff for that, and they don't give them that opportunity too. A lot of fucking great players. So I'm happy that you were able to get that that G League experience for sure.
Yeah.
Even though, I mean, like, with your accolades, bro, and everything, if things would have went better, like, I would have seen you getting at least, like, half a season to, like, a year in the league at least.
I just want a chance. I feel like if I get a chance, I feel like I'll stick. Not saying I'll stick for like 10 plus years, but I think I can make a run for like a couple years in the league if I got the actual chance and on a good team. Not like a good team, but like a good team for me, like, to be on.
Definitely, because you always got it. That's another thing that people don't understand. People see you on one team and then they're like, oh, well, he's doing this. He's not scoring too much, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like, there's people have different – people will fit well in different situations.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying?
But, like, suppose you come down to
– go ahead.
My bad, go ahead. Oh, that's what I was telling you. That's when it comes down to people that really don't know the business side of basketball or
– yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They just look at it as, oh, I'm watching somebody play basketball and he ain't playing, but when he went to another team and now he's playing really well, like, they don't look at it like some people just don't fit that system.
Right. 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 That's what I'm saying. Like, it'd be all types of stuff, man. It'd be all types of stuff that people really just don't understand. But I mean, it hurts me, man, because there's just so many players, Dikembe. You already know. There's so many players, bro. I'm tired of hearing about the same dudes on TV every single day, every single year. But I'm tired of that shit, bro. I'm really tired of it, bro. Give other people a chance, bro. I get it. Like, Isaiah Briscoe was in the league, and then he got hurt. But it's like, bro, he's not hurt no more. So pull him back up. You just gonna let him sit in the G League, bro? Isaiah Briscoe? Like, come on, man.
Crazy,
we
want to
hear about other players, man. We don't want to hear about LeBron every day, bro. We want to hear about other people, man. Seriously. And that's why I'm mad. Shabazz Napier is overseas right now, D. Napier, bro. Are you serious?
It's a lot of people overseas that used to be in the league, for real. That's killing.
But Shabazz should have never got sent over there, bro. This is Shabazz we're talking about, bro. Like, come on, son. Like,
it's crazy, man.
It's ridiculous, bro.
That's why people don't understand how hard it is to get to the NBA. It's even harder to stay in there.
Harder, definitely. It's definitely harder, man. It's ridiculous, bro. But now we talked about G League. Talk about now we're gonna get into a different realm. Now we're gonna start talking about overseas, different way of living. Break down everything overseas. Everything that's been happening from when you started legitimately after Lebanon, obviously, when you started legitimately getting comfortable overseas till now. Talk about it all.
Okay, well, after that I ended up going to Brazil. Was one of my favorite places to be at, actually, because I like the warm weather. You know, coming from Illinois, it's always cold pretty much to the summertime. But Brazil was nice, and it was lovely there. I always had a different mindset. Like, it's tough on some people being far away from your family, but, like, my mom and dad was like, anytime you feel homesick or you need to talk to somebody, you can call us anytime, and they got work or not, they picking up. Because, you know, there's a time difference and stuff like that. Like, I'm calling them at, like, 4 in the morning, they picking up. And I'm like, man, I want to be home. And, you know, they had talked to me like, "No, you can't. It's the life you chose. Like, you gotta see it through. Like, things, you know, stuff don't always go as planned. You just gotta do whatever you gotta do to get back on track." So, like, talking to them helped. So, like, I never really was like, "Oh, I can't do this." Like, it was times where, like, it was bad. Like, I'm walking to practice. I'm tired. Like, it was tough, you know, the Wi-Fi not good. I can barely talk. I can't watch nothing. I'm in the house just sitting in, laying in the bed, just sitting there for 10 hours doing nothing because I ain't got no Wi-Fi. They keep telling me they're going to fix it. Like, a lot of stuff is just, you got to deal with a lot of stuff. But you really got to be mentally strong going overseas. Like, to anybody that want to go overseas, like, you really got to be mentally strong. Like, some people get there and they be gone in, like, 3 weeks because they can't deal with it. But, like, I enjoy it. I get to travel the world for free, meet new people, learn different cultures, try different foods, you know, like I try to take full advantage of the basketball experience when I go overseas. I don't just try to be around basketball 24/7 because you can really go crazy. Like,
yeah,
you need a break outside of basketball sometimes. Like, and that's what I do. Like, going overseas, like, you can go see, like, famous sculptures or whatever, go to museums, just learn about the culture you're at, you know, different countries, you know, it's a lot of places you can go. So it ain't that bad. I enjoy it. I enjoy my time overseas.
That's amazing, bro. And yeah, I mean, going to places like Brazil and stuff like that, it's completely different. You get to get away from the United States and you just get,
yeah,
to, you just, like you said, learn different cultures. Learn about different people. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
People are so much different out there.
Yeah, it's really, it really is. And it make you realize how good you got it back home.
How good you got it back
home. How a lot of like U.S. people take the U.S. for granted, but then you go over there and you see this and you like, "Oh man, I'm not finna complain about nothing no more." You know, like us, our poor people here, we still got AC, Wi-Fi, apartment. Poor people over there sleeping under bridges, and you know what I'm saying? Like, they ain't got none of that. So, like, it just make you look at the world different.
Right. Right. That's a fact, bro. As far as, like, playing and how the seasons went down there, talk about that. Talk about, like, the players, the just, like, the playing styles, the physicality. Talk about that stuff.
Brazil, most places overseas is really physical because a lot of referees look at it like, "Oh, you're American. You can deal with that," you know? So, like, you kind of got the locals and stuff, like, kind of got more leeway than you. Like, you can't do some things that the locals can do and vice versa. So you get beat up for sure as American. You get beat up, but you learn to adapt. You learn to adapt. And the basketball the same year worldwide for real. It's just different. It's like, how to explain it. Like, the only thing that's different is like the word barrier. Like, I was on a team where they were speaking Portuguese most of the time, so like it was kind of hard to, like, every now and then I might mess up on the objective because they said this and I thought it was, you know what I'm saying? Like, so that's the only thing that's hard. But other than that, like, if you can play basketball, you can play anywhere, for real. You just got to adjust. Cause some coaches you get, like, overseas, they more fundamental, you know what I'm saying? Then, like, they don't care that you can go get 30. They want you to play the right way. They want you to triple thread, drive, kick. Like, they don't want you to just be over there just doing what you do in the States. Like, they don't look at it like that. They look at, like, real basketball, like, playing the right way, 5-on-5, mm-hmm, involving your teammates. You know, in the States, it's more 1-on-1. If you can beat your guy 1-on-1 and get 50, then you're going to do that. Over there, they don't want that. They don't want that. Some places, I'm saying, not every place. So it's just about it's about adjusting to your situation.
That's a fact, bro. That's a fact. Where did you just finish up last season? Where were you? Let the people
like
know.
right when I got back? Are you talking about that?
Yeah.
I was in Switzerland, and before that, like half of the season, I was in Luxembourg.
Luxembourg, that's awesome. Talk about how the season just went, the one that just passed.
So the Luxembourg one is when I left in August. I was in Luxembourg. I was averaging like 26. I think when we was losing a couple games, and you know, like overseas, when you losing, like they be ready to fire you. So, like and it wasn't even my fault, you know what I'm saying? But you know, as American, you gonna have to take the fall. So,
yeah.
They end up releasing me, but like, you know, we had a little talk, and it was like, it's not your fault, but you know what I'm saying? The sponsor's getting mad, so we got to go in a different direction. I'm like, okay, I'm okay with that. So like, it was cool. They was like, you can stay inside the apartment until you get another job. Like, they was really nice, like really nice people. Like, they didn't want to release me, but you know what I'm saying? Like, the sponsors and stuff, it's the money maker, so they got to listen to them kind of. So, but soon they released me. The Switzerland team called me and was like, we'll take them, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, within, like, 3 days, I was out of there, and that's when I went to Switzerland. The team I went to, they was 0-7 when I got there. And we ended up winning 9 games when I got there, and we made the 8th seed, and we made it to the playoffs. So the season had its ups and downs, but that's just life, you know what I'm saying? You just got to be able to adjust and get back on the track. You can't dwell on the past. So when I got there, you know, I picked up where I left off, playing basketball and just doing what I love and having fun with it. That's the most important thing. You got to have fun. If you ain't having fun, most likely you ain't going to be doing well when you're on the court.
That's a fact, man. You definitely got to have fun, man. Definitely, definitely, definitely got to have fun. Yeah. Definitely.
So in the beginning? Oh, my bad. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm happy that you found your way overseas, and that you're happier, you're learning, you're maturing, and I mean, you're looking to have many, 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 many years to come as far as playing. So I'm happy
yes,
that like you're comfortable, and like you're locked in on what you're trying to do overseas. I'm proud of you, man.
Appreciate that.
Proud of you, man. But let's talk about like social media and like stuff like that with like basketball. How do you like social media is just, it's messy, man. It's messy.
Yeah.
It's just like the fans and like everything that people are saying about the players and breaking down analytics instead of actually what's going on the court. How do you feel
mm-hmm.
about social media and basketball in 2022?
I feel like it can be a blessing and it can be someone's downfall. And when I say that, I mean, like, the blessing part is, like, if you're doing everything right and you got, like, people talking about you in a good way, like, that can help your career as far as basketball or football, whatever sport you play. But, like, mm-hmm. if you're not doing well and you're supposed to be doing well, that's when it can, like, be a curse, because now everybody's talking about you in a negative way. Then it can impact your future, your money, whatever you got going on at that time. Like, so
yeah.
I just tell people just, look at it as what it is. Like, if you can't handle it, don't be on social media. Or if you're having a bad stint of games, don't be on social media. Maybe deactivate your stuff. But, like, I know what comes with all this. So I don't really care. Like, if I have a bad game and somebody bad-mouthing me or something like that, I accept that. Because my dad do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, my dad would talk to me about that. Like, he'd be on me. So it ain't like if the fans say, oh, you play trash, like, I'm not going to be upset and be depressed over that, because I know I play trash, you know what I'm saying? So, but a lot of people don't look at it like that, but like, so I don't really take social media that serious. I just look at it as what it is. There's people on there talking, some people talking about analytics, that's their job, you know what I'm saying? I can't be mad at somebody else for doing their job, whether it's talking bad about me or talking good about me. That's your job, so get your money.
I'm talking about the fans that like they'll bring up and they'll say, yeah.
Oh, I ain't never ran into no fans like overseas. I don't know how it is in the NBA. I ain't never been there, but overseas, like, they just, you play hard and you have a bad game, the fans still gonna love you because you playing hard. The only time overseas where fans be on you is like if you like playing bad and you not playing hard, then the fans be like, you know, they'll say something. But like, I ain't never had to deal with that. Knock on wood, I ain't never had to deal with that. Like, I go hard even when I have bad games, because I have many bad games, but fans still rocking me, so I can't even talk on that because I ain't never really experienced that. I thought you were saying like people that like actually like talk like analytics and
no,
that's
no,
a
not
job. My bad, my
you
bad.
Said, Nah, they had, like you said, they have a job. I'm talking about the, like, the troll, like, oh, I mean, you know who I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
I ain't never really had to deal with that, so I can't even really say much about that. Like, everywhere I've been, every country I've been to, like, fans really show me love. Like,
that's what
I can't even, I never had no fan, like, I'd be having fans, like, asking for my jersey, autographs, and taking pictures with me. I never had, like, a bad fan. And if I did, they never said nothing to me.
Right.
So I can't even speak on that.
That's a fact. So last question. I'm happy that everything's going well for you overseas.
Yeah.
And I wish you the best, man. As far as like basketball goes, just keep on climbing, man. Keep on climbing.
That's the goal.
You know what I'm saying? Keep on climbing out there, and then whatever other opportunities come for you, bro, just take it. And just, you know what I'm saying, just keep going. Because at this point, I've been following what you got going on for like the past like 3 years anyway. So you know that I'm going to know what's going on. But I want the people that listen to my podcast, people that on your side that listen to your podcast, that listen to this episode, I want them to like continue to watch you and make sure that like you're growing and you're exceeding every year. Like your stats are going up and everything is going up. You're jumping into bigger leagues overseas, and then you know what I'm saying. There's a lot of people, man, that they be overseas for a while, but then an NBA tryout might pop up or something like that. Would you go back to the G League if they gave you opportunity?
Yeah, but like, see, that's the thing with me. Like, I told people, like, I don't want to do the G League if I have to experience what I experienced last time. The only reason I put up with that last time because I was a rookie. And I needed to learn the game. Like, I needed to learn basketball other than scoring and, you know what I'm saying, simple stuff. Like, I need to know the terminology. So I was okay with not playing and sitting back and watching everybody else and just soaking up all the knowledge because that helped me. But now that I'm older, I don't want to waste a year by just – because, you know what I'm saying, at some point the ball going to stop bouncing. And I don't want to waste a year and just be sitting on the bench. Like, I think I learned enough. Now I can play. Like, I want to play. If I go back to the G League, I gotta get some minutes.
Speaking of, like, the G League and the United States, I remember because even during, like, the pre-draft, good times because you and, like, Brendan said, you guys would always go live. And, like, those were great times. When you guys would go live, everybody would tap in. Like, it was those were some good days, man. What's you know what B. Samp is up to these days? Where's he at?
I think he was in the G League this year. He was with the Timberwolves G League team, if I'm not mistaken. Like me and him, we talk throughout the year. Like I reach out to him when I see he's doing well, and I'd be like, "Yeah, I've been checking you out. Like that's my guy. We locked in forever."
Yeah. Okay. It's good to hear.
He was with me when I played with Windy City.
Right.
He was on a two way with the Bulls.
Yeah, he was.
He was with me a couple times, and you know, I wish him the best. I think he should be in the league too.
Definitely, he had his shot. He was in there for a little bit, but like you said, you know how it is with the politics and everything.
Yeah, I know.
It's hard to get back in there, but
for sure.
Last question: which basketball player did you idolize the most coming up?
Growing up, Derrick Rose.
Chicago boy.
Derrick Rose for sure. Yeah, Derrick Rose and Kevin Durant. I tried to model my game after them too.
Yeah, definitely. That's the obvious answer though for D Rose because he's from where you're
I know
from,
it's
man.
I know it's like that, but like I love D Rose from the like I wanted to go to Memphis. But you know, Coach Calipari wasn't there. That's why I was so into it with like Coach Calipari. Like when he told me that, you know what I'm saying? Like you coach Derrick Rose, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why it meant a lot when he told me what he told me.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome that D Rose is your favorite. That's awesome that KD
sir.
Is your
My
favorite.
God.
Even though I'm kind of with what KD did. With Golden State, I ain't like it, but you know what I mean? Like I can understand why
you
like KD.
You had to do what you had to do. You had to do what you had to do.
I don't like it, man. But
my boy got two of them things.
I understand.
At the end
man,
of his career, I know people gonna be like, "Oh, it was it was a bad ring or whatever, but at least he can say he got him. He ain't gonna be like
Hey man,
Charles Barkley.
in the words of the Gimbe Dixon, go to where they need you, not where they want you. They ain't need KD.
Yeah, that's facts. That's facts. They didn't need him, but I'm happy he got a ring. I just wanted him to get one at least.
Word. All right.
I want
so,
my boy D Rose to get one too.
For everybody listening, you know what I mean, once I get off here, I'm gonna put it on either not today, but this week I'm gonna put it on Twitter. I'm gonna put his handles on Twitter. I'm gonna put his handles on my Instagram story. Make sure you follow the Kimbe. You know what I'm saying? Make sure you follow him. You can reach out to him, man. He didn't know me through a hole in the wall, and I reached out to him. He spoke to me. Anybody can reach out to him.
I respond to everybody that messaged me. I try to respond to everybody.
Real humble, real nice guy. If you have any questions for him, reach out to him and just follow him and just watch what he does. Watch his highlights. Go on his Instagram. He's tough, man. He wouldn't be on my podcast if he wasn't tough, bro. Like, trust me.
Appreciate you.
He was a top player. He was a top player in the country. But like I tell y'all, man, these people you see on TV every day, they're not the only ones that go hoop. They're not the only ones, man. I keep on telling y'all, they're not the only ones that can play, bro. There's a lot of these motherfuckers that can fucking play. They just, like, certain things came in the way in politics. That's why you don't see him in the league. But make sure you follow Dikembe. Make sure you tap in with him if you have any questions. Dikembe,
yes,
my God, bro. Thank you. But, you know, I could text him and hit you whenever I need to. But, bro.
Yeah, anytime when I reach out, my phone always open for you.
Thank you, bro. Thank you so much for this, bro. We gonna tap
Thank
in
you.
Soon, bro. I'm gonna post everything either this week or next week, but probably
All
later
right.
on this week. I'm gonna post everything, and then I'm gonna let you know first when it's getting posted.
Okay,
my guy.
Sounds good.
Thank you, bro. I'm gonna talk to you soon, boy.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Anytime.